This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
From Spotify Studios, this is Dissect, long-form musical analysis broken into short, digestible episodes. I'm your host, Cole Kushner. Today, we continue our serialized analysis of The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. On our last episode, we dissected To Zion, a resounding, triumphant expression of a mother's love. As Miseducation progresses, we're met with a trio of songs that confront what Miss Hill views as inauthentic in contemporary society. She'll address the inauthentic, shallow motives of some hip-hop communities on its Superstar, and the consequences of a greed and ego-fueled desire to climb the cultural hierarchy on the song Final Hour. But first, Miss Hill will hold a mirror to the gender dynamics between some young men and women on the album's next track, the subject of today's episode, Doo-Wop.
Girls, you know you better. Watch out. Some guys are only about
looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to Benjamin's? You act like you ain't him.
Of all the songs on Miseducation, Doo-Wop is Miss Hill's most transparent homage to her love of music from the 1950s and early 60s. We begin with the song's title, Doo-Wop, a direct nod to a subgenre of rhythm and blues music that developed in the urban East Coast ghettos in the 1940s and was popularized in the 1950s through the early 60s. Though the term doo-wop wasn't used until 1961, it has since come to describe a vocal dominant style of music that features prominent group harmony and simple instrumental accompaniment.
If she don't hurry and come back, I'ma send you to blow my top up. Now if I don't find her, I hope you remind her that I'm staying where she left me, just a-sittin' and a-rockin' all day. Never go out walkin', you never hear me.
This 1945 recording of the Delta Rhythm Boys performing Just a-sittin' and a-rockin' features the earliest recorded use of the phrase doo-wop, which is utilized by the backing vocalists. Like La 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 or Na Na Na, doo-wop is what's known as a non-lexical vocable, which is essentially a fancy way to describe singing nonsensical words as mouth filler, something vocalists can use to provide notes and harmony without lyrics. Throughout the 1950s, the phrase doo-wop had been used by backing vocalists so much that this style of vocal harmonization became nicknamed doo-wop.
When you dance, be sure to hold her tight. When you dance, you'll squeeze her, yeah, with all your might. Such a
thrill.
Veda Nobles, who contributed drum programming on Lauryn Hill's Doo-Wop, said of the song's title, quote, "There's a box set that said Doo-Wop sitting on the floor. The title for her single came off that box," unquote. It's likely that this box set was the Rhino Records 4-disc 100-song compilation entitled The Doo-Wop Box, which was released in 1994. But the song itself and its musical arrangement is actually taken from a 1971 track called Together Let's Find Love by The Fifth Dimension. Together Let's Find Love features two chords that repeat in the song's opening few measures, G minor and F minor. On Miss Hill's doo-wop, these chords are played faster and transposed up to an A minor and G minor. When played this way, these chords nod again to rhythm and blues music of the 50s, 60s, and early 70s. This technique of playing steady eighth note chords high on the piano was common in those eras.
My love must be a kind of blind love.
Of course, Miss Hill and her team modernized their chords by adding hip-hop-style drums, provided by Che Guevara. When producer Veda Nobles heard an early version of doo-wop, he, quote, thought the music was cheesy, it wasn't hard enough, so I put a really heavy drum in there just to give it some edge, something hip-hop, unquote. Specifically, Nobles adds a driving kick drum, which was said to be inspired by Audio 2's 1988 hit, Top Billin'.
Check it out. MCMI, people call me Milk. When I'm busting up a party, I feel no guilt.
And now let's hear Nobles' kick drum he added to doo-wop. And now let's hear this together with the song's main drum loop. The last foundational elements of the song are a sophisticated, funk-inspired bass line, which is accented by a second piano line played in the lower register. We also find a horn trio throughout doo-wop. The horn arrangement itself is taken from the original Fifth Dimension song, recreated by live players. Of course, another musical element essential to doo-wop, both the musical genre and Miss Hill's song, is the human voice. This is acknowledged on the track's opening moments, as Miss Hill harkens back to the song's 50s doo-wop inspiration.
Yo, remember back on The Bully when cats used to harmonize like, yo, my men and my women, don't forget about the dame. This is not the most the king, yo. It's about a thing,
Miss Hill begins saying, "Remember back on the bully when cats used to harmonize." Bully is slang for boulevard, and here Miss Hill is alluding to the origins of doo-wop music, which she describes using hip-hop street slang. Straight away, Miss Hill is acknowledging her coalescence of contemporary hip-hop with doo-wop music of the 1940s and 50s. These two musical styles, hip-hop and doo-wop, aren't historically far removed in terms of their origin story. Doo-wop began in the post-World War II era in the urban ghetto streets of cities like New York, Chicago, and Baltimore. African-American teenagers formed their own vocal groups, as you didn't need access to musical instruments beyond your own voice. These groups would practice vocal harmonies in school gyms and street corners, blending rhythm and blues, barbershop and gospel harmonies with popular black vocal group music. It was common for these groups to take a pre-existing song and adapt it for their a cappella performances.
Yes, I love her. yes, I need her. Oh, I love that girl.
Love that girl.
Soon, the doo-wop sound began to trickle into the mainstream music of the time, becoming a staple of 1950s rhythm and blues, continuing into Motown styles of the 1960s and the Philly sound of the 1970s. Many of the fundamental aspects of the origin story of doo-wop are mirrored in the creation of hip-hop. Like doo-wop, hip-hop was created in the impoverished urban streets of the East Coast, specifically South Bronx and New York City, in the late 1970s. Like doo-wop, the black youth reinterpreted pre-existing songs, only now they were using turntables to combine multiple songs and looping breakbeats from funk records. Eventually, masters of ceremonies, otherwise known as MCs, started rhyming over these instrumental beats.
I said a hip. To the hip, hip, hop, you don't stop the rockin' to the bang, bang, boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test.
Like doo-wop's early originators, an MC didn't need any instruments. They could write rhymes and practice anywhere, on street corners, subway tunnels, or at a table while tapping out drum beats with their hands. Not unlike doo-wop, the term hip-hop originated from nonsensical words. As legend has it, Keith Cowboy Wiggins, a member of the pioneering rap group Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, was teasing a friend who was going into the army, mimicking the rhythm of marching soldiers by scatting hip-hop, hip-hop. That phrase hip-hop ultimately got used in song, and the genre's title was born. Given the similarities in their grassroots origin story, Miss Hill's literal harmonization of doo-wop and hip-hop is no insignificant footnote. It represents a deliberate bridge across generations of influential black music whose expressions differ in sound, but whose origins are born out of the experience of the African American in the United States. Miss Hill's conscious unionization of these two closely related spirits are culturally significant, but also deeply personal. Both doo-wop and hip-hop were instrumental influences in her upbringing. As you know from our first episode this season, Miss Hill devoured her parents' record collection as a child, a collection that consisted primarily of black soul and rhythm and blues music of the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. In fact, the first record Miss Hill discovered at age 5 was If I Should Lose You by the doo-wop group The Dream Lovers.
If I should lose
Expressed succinctly during her time with the Fugees, Miss Hill integrates her soul sound with her love of hip-hop. Specifically for Miss Education, it was the Wu-Tang Clan that Miss Hill told collaborators to use as the main hip-hop ingredient.
Yeah, I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job, had second hands. Moms bounced on old men, so then we moved to Shaolin Land. A young dude, you're rocking the go-to.
We sat in a room when we started the record, and it was me, her, and James. And the first thing she said, I like soul music, I like reggae music, and I like Wu-Tang. Let's go. And literally one of the first records we made was doo-wop. I don't know how doo-wop came out of that equation, but that was one of the first records we made was doo-wop.
Because both soul and hip-hop are so structural to Miss Hill as a person, their coalescence here on doo-wop, and throughout Miss Education for that matter, never sounds forced. Rather, it feels authentic, an accurate representation of who Miss Hill is. And while she was the guiding principle in her team's creation of the song's instrumentals, Miss Hill's voice, and her rare ability to both sing and rap at the highest level, is that magic, irreplaceable element that makes cohesive these otherwise contrasting musical aesthetics. Doo-wop, That Thing, is a masterclass in Miss Hill's dualistic talents, showcasing her effortless fluidity between MC and diva.
Yo, remember back on the Bully when cats used to harmonize like
Yo,
my men and my women, don't forget about the dean. This is not the most the king. Yo, it's about a thing.
As we discussed at length, Miss Hill begins by acknowledging the song's doo-wop inspiration, effortlessly calling forth a trio of female backing vocalists. Miss Hill then says, "My men and my women, Don't Forget About the Deen, Sirah al-Mustaqim. In Islam, deen translates to religion or creed and refers to the way of life Muslims are required to adopt in compliance with divine law and to the divine judgment individuals will receive before Allah. Sirah al-Mustaqim is a phrase from the Quran translating to the straight path or the path or way that pleases God. As we've already heard in its opening three tracks, Miseducation makes numerous references to scripture and spirituality, a reflection of Miss Hill's interest and studies in the Bible, the Quran, and other religious texts. Here on Doo-Wop, it frames the song within religious or spiritual structures, implying that the subject she's about to elaborate on, sexualization and materialism, specifically in urban culture, are divergences from the quote-unquote straight path. We'll keep this pious framework in mind as we explore Doo-Wop's lyrics, lyrics that we'll dive into right after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Welcome back to Dissect. Before the break, we discussed Miss Hill's harmonization of doo-wop and hip-hop on Miss Education's fifth track, Doo-Wop That Thing. We also heard the song's introduction, which features Miss Hill's speaking voice. This introduction is found on the album version of the song. On Doo-Wop's single version, the one that dominated radio in the late 90s, the introduction features the performance of the song's hook, which we'll go ahead and hear now.
Girls, you know you better watch out. Some guys are only about that thing, that thing, that thing, that thing, that thing, that thing.
Doo-Wop's hook is likely one you know very well. Miss Hill warns women to watch out for guys only concerned with that thing, which is a euphemism for sex. This introduces the cautionary tone of the song's message and the dynamics between one-track-minded men and the women that they court. As we'll see in both of the song's verses, Miss Hill places blame on both the men and the women for the creation of these dynamics, specifically within the young black urban community. In verse 1, she speaks to the women directly.
It's been 3 weeks since you were looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to Benjamins? Yeah. You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then, then you probably fuck again. Talking out your neck saying you're a Christian, a Muslim, sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass.
Miss Hill begins by presenting a micro-narrative about a one-night stand, addressing directly the woman in the scenario. She says, it's been 3 weeks since you were looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. The implication here is that the woman was hoping for something more to come from this romantic relationship, but instead she was ghosted, never hearing from the man again. She continues, remember when he told you he was about the Benjamins? This line calls out the 1997 hit, It's All About the Benjamins by Puff Daddy, a song that was dominating the radio during the creation of Miss Education.
What y'all wanna do? wanna be ballers, shot callers, brawlers. We'll be dipping in the bins with the spoilers.
Benjamin's is, of course, a reference to Benjamin Franklin's portrait on the $100 bill. And Miss Hill's reference to this track works to personify the male character in doo-wop. She's drawing on and calling out a prevalent theme in male mindset in hip-hop, which is the acquisition and flaunting of money to attract women. This mindset was also propagated by the female perspective in other popular songs of this era, perhaps most famously in the number one hit, No Scrubs by TLC.
Don't show love. Oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. Wanna get with me with no money? Oh no, I don't want no one.
And so we have a dynamic of both men and women glorifying materialism and sexuality as a means to attract the opposite sex. And it's this dynamic that Miss Hill is calling out as flawed, superficial, and inauthentic on doo-wop. Miss Hill elaborates on her narrative, confronting the woman for giving it up so easily, and then feeling bad when the man only wants to see her for sex. She says, "Remember when he told you he was about the Benjamins? You act like you ain't hear him and then give him a little trim." Trim here is slang for sex, specifically a woman's vagina. She continues, "Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then you'd probably fuck again." Miss Hill sees the woman as having set up an expectation of sexual transaction, implying that she's just as responsible as the man is for this relationship based only on sex. Midway through the verse, Miss Hill returns to her religious framework, quote, "talking out your neck, saying you're a Christian." Talking out your neck is a phrase that means to speak recklessly or lie. Miss Hill calls this woman out for claiming to be a moral Christian while her behavior says otherwise. Miss Hill continues, "a Muslim sleeping with the jinn." Jinn here has two meanings. Similar to the previous line, she equates this woman to someone who claims to be Muslim, but also drinks gin or alcohol, which is not halal and is forbidden. But jinn, spelled J-I-N-N, is Arabic, and in Islam refers to an object that cannot be detected by human senses, most commonly spirits like angels and demons. It seems clear that Miss Hill's intention saying, sleeping with the jinn, is akin to the phrase, sleeping with the devil. But we recognize the clever double meaning of two types of spirits, the alcoholic spirit jinn, and the evil Islamic spirit jinn. Miss Hill then says, "now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who are you going to tell when the repercussions spin?" Recounted in the Bible, Jezebel was the 9th century queen of Israel. She's infamous for her disloyalty, as she worshipped another god other than Yahweh. The people turned on her, and as she prepared to be murdered by General Jehu, Jezebel applied makeup and dressed in finery before she was thrown over her balcony and eaten by dogs. Some have viewed her putting on makeup and dressing extravagantly as a failed plan to seduce Jehu and avoid her fate. Since her death, the name Jezebel has become an archetype for impudent or morally unrestrained women. It would seem that Miss Hill is drawing on both Jezebel specifically from the Bible and her legacy as archetype, a kind of warning to women of this character that their current path will not end well unless some correction to their behavior and character is made. As verse 1 continues, Miss Hill turns inward.
Showing off your ass because you're thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know, I only say it because I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just a minimum. Niggas fucked up and you still defending them now. Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly Penn. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again.
Miss Hill begins the second half of verse 1 saying, "showing off your ass because you're thinking it's a trend." The type of woman Miss Hill speaks about here plays into the cultural, sexualized expectations of women. Trends are created from observation followed by imitation, and so it becomes a kind of self-feeding cycle. In this scenario, a woman shows skin because she sees others doing it and getting attention from men. Another woman sees that woman showing skin and begins doing it herself. Another woman sees that woman, and so on and so forth. As the verse continues, Miss Hill begins to reveal the intentions behind her tough love. Quote, "you know I only say it because I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem. Baby girl, respect is just a minimum. N-word's fucked up and you still defending him." Ms. Hill is implying that these women are selling themselves short, that their self-perception is falsely influenced by the stereotypes of hip-hop culture, and more broadly, the historical sexualization of women in American society. She argues that they have more to offer than their bodies, that they should demand respect from the opposite sex by first respecting themselves. This is potently expressed in the line, "Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem." Ms. Hill plays off the fact that some gems are rocks, laying out a philosophy of maximizing one's self-worth through self-perception. That is, with perception alone, you can value yourself as a hard rock, which is common and easy to obtain, or as a gem, rare, valuable, and harder to obtain. Also ingrained here is this idea that one attracts what one projects. That is, specifically as it relates to the narrative on doo-wop, if one relies on sexualization for attention, they run the risk of attracting only those interested in their bodies. The verse continues, "Now Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament." This to me is a very pivotal line, revealing that Ms. Hill is not, or at least doesn't intend to speak from a place of judgment. Rather, because she once had a mindset similar to the women she's speaking to, her intentions seem pure as she attempts to expedite a process of personal growth in others, a process that she went through herself. Indeed, regarding doo-wop's message, Ms. Hill told Details magazine, quote, "I'm not dissing them, I'm dissing their mindset. My music talks about a certain way of thinking, and if the cap fits, you know. I knew girls like Little Kim growing up. I might have been one at a certain age, and there's this huge lack of self-esteem behind that thinking. I mean, when I was 14, I thought if a guy didn't whistle at me, that meant I wasn't pretty. But either you mature past that, or you get caught up in the concept of, oh, I have to show some ass because it's the only way I can feel beautiful. Sex is cool, but it's only part of the story," unquote. It seems to me that Ms. Hill's intention isn't necessarily to place all the blame on women for these mindsets. Rather, she's pointing out the invisible social and historical constructs that influence these women's perceptions of themselves and the invisible pressures these constructs put on them to conform. Ms. Hill's words are cautionary based on her own experience, and it would seem she's attempting to save others from the experiences she went through herself. This point is implied in the following line, "Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pin." By saying "let it sit inside your mind," it's clear that Ms. Hill's words here are simply food for thought, something to consider. A million women in Philly pin refers to the Million Women March that took place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in October of 1997. Attended by over 500,000 people, mostly women, the march was intended to promote positive change and, quote, "help bring social, political, and economic development and power throughout the black communities in the United States, as well as bring hope, empowerment, unity, and sisterhood to women, men, and children of African descent globally, regardless of nationality, religion, or economic status," unquote. It would seem Ms. Hill is implying that some of the women at this march had a similar revelation as she did and worked to promote change, union, and respect within their African-American communities. Ms. Hill continues with the line, "It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's in." This again carries with it religious undertones, as in selling one's soul to the devil. But here Ms. Hill plays off sell and the trend of attracting a wealthy man with their sexuality. Finally, the verse ends, "Look at where you be in, hair weaves like Europeans, fake nails done by Koreans." This seems to tie back into the mission of the Million Women March, one that works towards uniting the African-American woman community. Ms. Hill is pointing out the irony of African-American women chasing traditional standards of American beauty that's based on centuries of pushing whiteness as the ideal form of beauty. She asks these women to literally look at how chasing these superficial beauty standards separates them from their community. They visit Korean nail salons and reject their natural hair in favor of straightened European hairstyles or wigs. As doo-wop continues, Ms. Hill performs the song's hook, only this time she cautions men about certain types of women. That thing, here on the second iteration of the song's hook, is no longer a euphemism for sex. Rather, that thing is now money and materialism. This helps us set up verse 2, which addresses the men directly.
The second verse is dedicated to the men, more concerned with his rims and his Timbs and his women. Him and his men come in the club like hooligans, don't care who they defend, popping yang.
You got yang.
Let's not pretend. The one to pack pissed out by the waistman, crissed out by the casement, still the name of this basement. The pretty face man claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their three and four kids, been the face in court.
case when the child support's late. Money taking, heartbreaking, now you wonder why women hate me. The sneaky silent man, the punk domestic violence man, the quick to shoot the semen, stop acting like boys and be men. How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within?
Come again. Miss Hill makes very clear who she's addressing with the opening lines. The second verse is dedicated to the men, more concerned with his rims and his Tims than his women. She draws attention to these men prioritizing materialism while neglecting the women that they're with. And just like certain women prioritizing their bodies to meet expectations culture has set for them, men flaunting wealth is also an attempt to fulfill some invisible expectations society has pressed upon them. Miss Hill continues with one of the more clever lines of the entire song, saying, "Him and his men come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they offend. Popping yang like you've got yen." Popping yang is slang for talking trash, while yen refers to Japanese currency. So the phrase popping yang like you got yen translates to talking shit like you got money. But of course, Miss Hill is playing off yin yang, the Chinese symbol for the balance of opposing forces. When heard this way, Miss Hill is calling out these men for pretending that they're balanced, that they have their shit together, when it's really all for show. This is elaborated on as the verse continues. Let's stop pretend, the ones that pack pistols by the waist men, crystal by the case men, still in their mother's basement. Again, while these men play into the stereotypical image of a black male, it's an elaborate front, as they still live with their mother and are in some sense still children. Miss Hill continues to go in on these men, saying, need to take care of their 3 or 4 kids, and they face a court case when the child support late. Money taking and heartbreaking, now you wonder why women hate men. And so while verse 1 pointed out the women's role in the failed dynamics between men and women, here on verse 2, Miss Hill is going just as hard at the men and their contribution to these failed relationships. In both cases, these types of men and women are writing checks they ultimately can't cash. They're presenting a fabricated version of themselves to attract the opposite sex, which works in the short term, but in Miss Hill's view, has long-term consequences like broken homes, failed child support, and as we'll hear about in the subsequent lines, physical abuse. Quote, the punk domestic violence men, quick to shoot the semen, stop acting like boys and be men. Ultimately, Miss Hill finds her behavior childish and absent of grown man responsibility. Her point of view throughout the entire track is punctuated with the second verse's closing lines, how you gonna win when you ain't right within? Like the elaborate flashy feathers of a peacock, materialism and overt sexuality are external, superficial projections to attract the opposite sex. But if you're not right within, if your character isn't noble, if your word is without merit, if your spirit's depleted, these external projections will only get you so far. It's my understanding that Miss Hill doesn't mean to say having wealth or being sexual are inherently bad, but they have to have a solid foundation on which to stand. They should not take priority over or cause detriment to things like moral character, true self-respect, and personal virtue. It calls to mind a quote from Tupac Shakur, a man who battled his instincts for both inner peace and street bravado. Quote, if there was no money and everything depended on your moral standards, the way that you behaved, and the way that you treated people, how would you be doing in life? Unquote. Throughout Doo-Wop and punctuated at the end of its second verse, Miss Hill seems to be asking a similar question. How you gonna win if you ain't right within? As Doo-Wop continues, the song explicitly reveals its influences as it breaks down into an a cappella arrangement that acts as the song's bridge. One of Doo-Wop's backing vocalists, Lanisha Randolph, recounted her experience contributing to the track. Quote, in November 1997, I get a phone call asking if I'm available to come to Chung King Studios in New York. Lauren came in eating spaghetti pomodoro and garlic bread and explained where she's trying to go with this album and how she wants it to be a reflection of all of us. I was an 18-year-old girl that just wanted to sing. For Doo-Wop, she said, I want to play with 50s and 60s harmonies like barbershop guys on the corner. Then we all just jumped in harmonizing a cappella. She directed us, and from there, history was made, unquote. Indeed, history was made. Upon its release in July of 1998 as Miss Education's lead single, Doo-Wop, That Thing, was an instant commercial and cultural sensation. It became the 10th single in history to debut at number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 and the first by a rap artist, male or female. The iconic music video, which features a split screen of Miss Hill both contrasting and unifying the styles of the 1950s with the late 1990s, swept the MTV Video Music Awards, including Video of the Year. Doo-wop, That Thing, is that rare mainstream cultural specimen that carries with it a resounding conscious message packaged in a commercially viable product. It's a delicate balancing act very few have pulled off historically. And while some have criticized doo-wop for having a matronly or lecturing tone, it's criticism Miss Hill is aware of and seems to be okay with.
You know, yes, there's a little anger, there's a little resentment, because you raise a standard. You know, you especially when you do it and you make some noise. You know, and you do it and people actually listen to what you have to say, and like your record is bumping on the radio and you're saying something that holds a mirror up to a lot of the negativity and self-indulgent things and messages that a lot of other people, you know, but we're all young. I mean, I have a hard time being so hard on the music world, especially hip hop, because most of them come out of the hood 17 years old, having no clue or concept. Having no concept of what life really is. And because hip hop is so fast and what we like changes so quickly, by the time they do get a concept, they're no longer making records. You know, so I've been put in this unique position. I have this very unique responsibility that God has made me aware while I still have the mic.
In her piece, Respect is Just a Minimum, scholar Maisie Holbert says of doo-wop, quote, "The lyrics of doo-wop describe a variety of issues faced by women in hip-hop communities, placing accountability with both men and women. The first verse condemns the sexual promiscuity of young women who are left destitute when men do not support them, whilst the second verse holds the unrelenting dominance of hip-hop masculinity accountable for the struggles women face." Here, Hill exhibits dual oppositionality, a term to articulate how hip-hop discourse is both liberating and oppressive for Black women. By encouraging a dialogue between genders concerning their accountability for their challenges, Hill is at once able to critique the sexist infrastructures of hip-hop and express group solidarity with the wider oppression of Black hip-hop communities. The song Doo-Wop thus forms a community, where collective responsibility for the hypersexualization and commodification of women would incite a change in action and consciousness, unquote. In terms of the miseducation of Lauryn Hill's narrative, Doo-Wop is the first of a trio of songs in which Miss Hill calls out what she views as inauthentic, specifically within her immediate Black hip-hop-centric community. On the album's next track, she takes aim not at the consumers of hip-hop, but the creators of it.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Everything you drop is so tired. Music is supposed to inspire. How come we ain't getting no higher?
This Doors-inspired assault on fame and the music industry at large is called Superstar, a song we'll thoroughly discuss next time on Dissect. Dissect is written and produced by me. Project support by Spotify's Michelle Santucci. Original theme music by Bureaucratic. Song recreations by Andrew Atwood. Additional research by Akash Pandey. Remember, when you listen to Dissect on Spotify, you'll get episodes a week early plus access to exclusive bonus episodes. Follow at Dissect Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and join our newsletter at dissectpodcast.com. Okay, thanks everyone. Talk to you next week.